This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Once upon a time, two men decided if they were making the cut. Then they made the cut. And now JT and Aaron are talking everything from wrestling to pop culture and beyond. Because it's no holds barred.
Bards have been no, holds have been no, whatever it is. Welcome to episode number 8.
God damn it.
The old bar of the podcast. JT with my boy, Aaron. Aaron, how are you?
Oh, I'm so cold.
Are you already?
I was away the last, like, night and a half, and, like, I didn't put the heat on in my house, so I just got in, and it's fucking freezing. And I don't know what to do. My cat is not, like, she's a good source of heat, but she's avoiding me.
Right.
I think she's pissed I was gone.
Can't blame her. Yeah.
So that's how I am, and it doesn't feel good.
So how many Celsius is it?
Oh, 6,000.
Okay, very good. So that's like 40 Fahrenheit.
About.
Okay.
Roughly.
Very good. I'm getting better at these conversions. So how are you? It's been a couple weeks.
Good. I'm good. Yeah, I know. It's been too long since I heard the sweet sounds of your voice.
Well, if you just listen to the Place to Nation Wrestling podcast feed, you could hear my voice like a couple times a week.
It's not the same. Not the same.
It's true.
You're not. Focus and rage is not directed at me on those ones.
It's directed at Scott, yes. Yeah. So here we are, and we're going to continue our trek through building our own greatest WWE tag team ever list submission for the project going on at PlayStation.com. If you missed kind of the explanation and overview, I don't know what to tell you, but you should go back and listen to episode 7 because we, I think, explained what we were doing. And basically, we're gonna combine work together, submit a list. And the first piece of that process is going through the entire list of nominees and basically bucketing them on a spreadsheet. And here are the buckets we have. Top 50, bottom 50, fringe, nope, and research. So nope means we're not going to talk about the team again as we work through this. Top 50, bottom 50, they're probably locked in. We're just going to be discussing them as we kind of break through the organization. Fringe, our teams will probably dive into, like, maybe on their own episode. And then research, we may live watch the matches eventually, possibly.
We'll see. We'll see. We're not exactly great at live watches, you and I, so.
Accurate.
Yeah. Boom. Okay. Where are we?
We are.
Because I'm a business. We're down to business now.
We
right?
are.
We're down to business?
Business. My business, baby. All right. So we got through the L's last time.
So all right.
We are starting with Magnificent Morocco and Cowboy Bob Orton.
Orton.
As Matt Rodella would say.
How dare you insult the man such intelligence?
Save it. Save it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Like, do they have much more than that WrestleMania 3 match?
Yeah.
Yeah?
What it is, I'm not sure, but they do. I mean, they're a team for a bit since, like, I think from late 86 on. So I think they have some stuff TV-wise and here and there. And obviously they worked together for a lot of the Piper stuff, the Flower Shop and all that with Adonis. They're heavily involved there.
Right. So are they fringe or are they research? Or are they just a nope?
Hurts to say a nope because I feel like if we find some stuff, maybe it's good because they're both real good.
Right.
I'm quickly going through me and Scott's grades and I don't have, the only thing I have from them is 3 and then May of 87, they fought the Stallions. I went 2 stars on that and then they're feuding by September. So, I don't have a ton on them. I guess we could throw a bone in research, and I don't know if there's much out there. Maybe, like, talk to, like, a guy like a Kelly or D'Amato who, you know what I mean? Like, maybe saw more from that era.
Yeah.
That might have some info on them. So I'm fine going research for now just to see if there's anything else out there on those guys. But and that's really only out of respect, you know, because of knowing how good they are.
Randy Orton. We got to respect Randy Orton.
Of course. Well,
should at least look into his
dad.
The
product of his semen, yes.
My son, Randy.
gave him hepatitis B and C.
Oh, I love when we start a show with like some sort of venereal disease.
Always.
I feel like these are our better ones.
It's like the flow into our veins.
Yep. Oh, what's this itch?
All right. Next is Mankind and Vader.
Boom, boom, bam!
Still
boom,
working
boom.
On designing that shopping mall up in the sky.
Oh, that made me sad.
So what do you think?
No.
Okay.
I mean, like, they just don't have enough, right?
Yeah, and the biggest match they have kind of Loki blew.
And it was the one, it was like, why aren't they just fighting each other?
And they were supposed to, right? I mean, that's the story. The legend goes that they were supposed to have the death match, and then they didn't want it because they were having the other no holds barred match and whatever other reason, so... not enough there. But I mean, if you're building a list on like potential, you know, that would have been there. But
we should have a some sort of thing that goes off whenever one of us says "no holds barred." That's not the title of the show.
All right, I'll find someone to go through and edit that in.
Yeah, that's see what Scott's doing.
Yeah, oh, please, there'll be dings all over the place. All right, I'm gonna safely say this is a research team, and that's Manuel Soto and Pete Sanchez.
Oh, you're not into Manuel Soto and Pete Sanchez?
I prefer to pronounce it Sanchez.
Sanchez?
Yes.
There was a girl I worked with in a show a long time ago. I think it was 23, and I forgot her last name, so I called her Sanchez for the year, and I don't think she took kindly to it. Like, it was in direct response to a dirty Sanchez, right?
Right,
but
right.
I don't know if she knew that. And then she asked to use my toilet when we were unloading a set, and I jokingly said no. I was like, no, you can't do that. And so she went next door and asked a stranger to use the toilet.
You're such a jerk.
I know, and the neighbor never looked at me the same.
Yeah, well, you sent a girl over to shit in his bathroom, so.
Well, she fucking Sanchez all over that shit.
All right, we'll see you later, Pete Sanchez. At least later meeting. We'll see you in some research later. Marv Jannetty and the 1-2-3 Kid. So Jannetty was divisive for us when it came to the GWE list.
Piece of shit.
I think they belong in the bottom 50. Based on the two Quebecers matches and the feud with Polo and all that. And also, I count, you know, they're kind of a quasi-team as far as there's 93. If you want to count there, they survived that match.
That's maybe my favorite match on that show, too.
Yeah.
I think. I could live with it. Like, I went over our list since our last time, and there's a bunch of the fringes that I think I'm going to need to try and move up with you. But for now, let's put them in the bottom 50 and let's go for it.
Okay. Yeah, I'd have to look and see if they're on any other Raw matches. But I to me, the two Quebecer matches alone, at least the one on Raw, and I'm pretty sure the house show one is supposed to be as good. I haven't seen it in a while.
But like, what do you have that at? Like.
I'm going to pull it up right now. And I want to see if they have anything else with them.
You know what's frustrating about the 1-2-3 Kid? His WWE figure.
Three stars.
Three. Okay, that's not too bad. Yeah. That's not too bad. Like, his WWE figure comes with a tag title.
The Kid?
But yeah. But, like, there's no – he doesn't come in a pack with anyone else. They didn't release Jannetty in the same wave, and he also comes with a tag title. So you buy this guy, and you're stuck with one tag title.
Hmm.
It's maddening.
I think we were going to bitch about the original 1-2-3 Kid figure or the stupid headlock. Hasbro headlock motion, which is awful.
Who is he holding down with a headlock?
Oh, and it's awful. That was like the – was it Flair had that one too, I think? A few people had that stupid – I hated that stupid one. That was the worst. You couldn't do anything with them.
Well, those figures like are cool in retrospect, mm-hmm. but fucking hard to play with.
Yeah, I mean – look, I got years and years of playing with them, and so I was fine. But some of the motions were tough. Like the Hogan doing the bear hug was like the worst.
Oh yeah, because he never did that. Why did they give him the bear hug?
And it's not really a bear hug though. Like it's more. It almost looks like it's his pose.
He's flexing. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like the bear hug motion. That one was useless. And then my least favorite was the one where their feet are together and they jump.
Oh yeah, that one sucked.
Where you press down a little tab on their back.
Well, and yeah, and there was, but the other Hogan one was the press slam one, but right. You couldn't do a proper punch with them then.
Well, yeah, then they released, so that was at the, they did like four Hogans. There was, the original was the press slam with like the crooked fingers.
Yeah.
And then they had the one, the bear hug, I think was second.
Yeah.
And then I feel like they did, There was a Punch Hogan that came later. It was like the 93 Hogan. He had the bandana on.
Yeah.
And I feel like there might have been a third one, like another one in between there.
Yeah, that's the one where he's sucking his own dick.
It was the one where he told his daughter not to date the black guy.
It's weird they had the footage that early.
I think it was, you know, was it the Suplex Hogan? Wasn't there a Suplex one too?
I'm not sure. It's possible.
I got them on a bag.
Like, as much as I, like, I'm pretty big into collecting now, but that's kind of a pretty big blind spot for me because I love those LJN ones so much, and I started collecting the plastic ones, but I just didn't like them nearly as much. In fact, I turned their ring into a wrestling ring for my G.I. Joes because they were the best wrestling figures ever, the G.I. Joes.
Right, right.
Because they could do anything. They were so much better articulated than anything else.
And when Josh Richard would come over and we'd he couldn't afford his own, so he'd come play with mine. And he, like, I'd use the ring, and for his ring, he would, like, use my Encyclopedia Britannica set. We'd build around it, like, a little cape, like, almost like a Colosseum, you know, like, or almost like Romans. he'd wrestle the figures in this big cavernous circle of books. But I used to flip the ring over for the cage. That's how I used to do cage matches.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
So
I would just pretend.
Yeah.
Because I have an imagination. I just did a quick search of Hulk Hogan Hasbro figure. Mm-hmm. And like the eighth picture is a custom one and he's dressed as Rip, which, which I think is appropriate.
There was actually a secret like fifth one, I think. Because they released a set in 93 toward the end. My cousin had him. And it was a red Hogan. He had like the red 93 like shirt and pants.
Yeah, I'm looking at him now, I think.
Yeah.
It's and ugly. It's an ugly figure.
It was that one, a Brett with like alternate shades, and then Taker with the coat, I think. It was like a special like series they released, like just those three. In 93. I never get the last set. It was like the green back cards.
Yeah. I never had I was out by then, I think. But they're making it they release those now. Like they have a whole set of them now of the
yeah,
new guys.
Brock I saw in Owens and some other ones, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely want to give it to my son, but like he'll break them, so I gotta wait. He has all my he has like all my ones from like 2002 on that I have just like a amalgamation. And I bought him a couple of new ones. Like he loves his AJ Styles one. I got him a Mania,
yeah.
And then a few others. But he's got like all like you know Jim Cornette and Shane McMahon from 2001 that I have, and Mark Henry and Kane and all those. But
yeah, those are the ones I gave to my kids too. They can smash them, and that's fine.
Right? Who gives a shit about those? The Hasbro's I gotta wait till he can. Not just destroy them because
and then the good ones now that go on my shelf they don't get to touch
right. Anyway,
what are
we doing? Welcome to FigureCast.
We're talking about the PWI 500 tonight too.
All right, speaking of Mark Henry, we have a team here with him and MVP.
No,
listen. I think we should at least talk about Mark Henry.
You're right. Great man, wonderful father.
Mm-hmm. He's an old soul, really.
Progressive. Mm-hmm. If you look at some of his actions on Raw, very progressive. Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, just a good man. I mean, I don't know what else to say about the man. It's MVP the problem.
Yeah. I feel like they had some potential as a team.
Sure.
Like, you know, they were like on the verge. And then that was like tail end MVP, right?
Yeah. And it was also during a time where the tag division was just awful.
Right.
Which didn't help, right? Like, they don't really have anybody to go against. I mean, I'm sure there's teams, but, like, it's just not a focus at all, so they get no time. I mean, do they even have – they must have a pay-per-view match together, but I'm sure it's few and far between.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
Yeah. So this is in no way a criticism of Mark Henry.
No. The best part they had was the matching red outfits.
Yes, I do love the matching red outfits.
Yeah, it was just such a dark time for tag teams. You know, it's hard to pinpoint, like you said.
This is why we get in trouble when you call this a fucking dark time. Okay, you can't do that, right?
All right. So their nose or fringes?
I put them as no. I don't see a chance here.
All right, we're sticking with MVP because we got him and Matt Hardy.
That's a more interesting one, but I mean, do they have – they're not a team that long, are they?
No, and they kind of do like the partners that don't get along stuff.
Yeah.
It was really furthering their feud.
I mean, look, the one with Mark Henry is way better because Mark Henry's in it.
Right, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, it's Mark Henry, you know? He smells like flowers. He's just an amazing man.
All right, so we're saying no?
Yeah, we're saying no. Okay. I mean, unless you want to fight for Matt
Hardy. We got enough Matt Hardy anyway in here. Yeah. All right. Next up, we have the Mean Street Posse.
It should be a no.
I don't know.
Like, they're funny.
I feel like they get a lot of memorable stuff.
Yeah, but the memorable stuff is them getting the shit beat out of them by Test and Ring.
Sure, right? But like, that's a thing, right?
It's not a tag team match. I mean, look.
But even later, when they do like the hardcore stuff and everything.
Are we going to include Patterson and Briscoe later?
I don't know if they got nominated.
No, come on. Mark Henry. No, sorry. Matt Hardy and MVP got nominated. They didn't.
They may be down there. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yes, they are on there. They're coming up.
Good, good. Okay, well, do you want to put them fringe?
Let's put them fringe. I feel like they at least earned fringe.
Earned?
Just repeat Gas's fucking gusher that he gets at WrestleMania.
Oh, that's disgusting.
2000. I mean, just all over the yellow sweater vest. Just a fucking disgusting mess. But, I mean, they do take a fucking beating. Even just on Raw, like some of the like APA, the other teams beat the shit out of them. I think they at least earn a conversation. That's all I'm saying.
I guess. I just feel like their memorable stuff is not in tag team matches. Like, isn't that the hardcore battle royal he gets destroyed in?
Yeah, but they're a team.
I guess.
The Mega Bucks. I think it's a no. Unless you want to really heavily weight SummerSlam 88, which
no.
I've now watched like 10 times in the last like 6 months. And I am going on my most recent watch with Scott and D'Amato we did a few weeks ago. I went 3.5. And I don't think they have anything else as a team.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, they kind of operated as a unit for the better part of that year, but you're right. I don't think they have any matches as a team.
So I don't know if you want Fringe in case we need a team. You know what I mean?
We're not going to need a team.
Okay, so then I say no, sadly.
Yeah.
Because they're great. And they didn't event the first SummerSlam. Like, there's some cachet there.
Yeah. But, like, they weren't, like – well, then again, they were – I was going to say they weren't as like unified as Hogan and Savage, but like they were kind of tied at the hip for the better part of that year. But I don't think it's enough.
Yeah.
And you don't get a blow off either. Not that they needed one, but.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, they work together, but like you said, I mean, I don't think they team really.
No, no. Mm. They felt like close associates. Like, Ted probably had him over at the house, you know? Andre drank all his wine.
Tasty. All right. How about the Mega Maniacs?
That's Hogan and Warrior?
Beefcake.
Oh, no. God, no. Take that off the list.
All right.
Like, look, I think SummerSlam's 89 is fine. I don't think it's horrible or anything. Even though Zeus is in it, but the WrestleMania 9 match is fucking garbage.
Yeah, yeah, that cancels out whatever credit you want to give him for SummerSlam 89. That gets canceled out, and I don't think. Yeah, and then the cage is the only other match they really have, right?
Yeah, I mean they're buddies, and like there's a lot of weird. What was it we did? It was the Saturday Night's Main Event 92. We just did on the Excellent Network rewatch,
right?
And like. Beefcake's talking about Hogan laying next to him in the hospital. It's just fucking weird.
Yeah, the whole thing's weird. And then, it depends if you want to count the promo where the kid tells Beefcake to kill himself when he comes back on Raw 93.
I want to, but...
All right.
It's an all-time moment.
Men on a Mission.
I mean, look, super memorable, right? I don't think they have any great matches, but I don't think their matches are nearly as bad as like some people would lead you to believe. Like
some of the better stuff is actually in 95 when Mabel's King and Mo is Sir and they team up, like not as the formal team, but the kind of a team, like they have a match on Raw with Yoko and Owen. It's
yeah.
Not, you know, it's not bad. And then, what's the pay-per-view match they have, too? Is it against Razor and Savio? Or Razor and Jannetty or something like that?
I think it's Razor and Savio. if I'm not mistaken. I'll tell you in a second. I quite like the WrestleMania 10 match. I know it's not the best match ever, but I always found that they were so over coming to the ring. The Quebecers were like a really fun opponent. Mm-hmm. It's Razor Savio at In Your House too.
Okay.
But like both those matches, I have the WrestleMania 10 one at 2.5. I have the Razor Savio at 2.25.
Yeah, I have Razor Savio 2.
Yeah.
I think the Yoko Owen one. Hang on really quick. Chad and I did that. Let me jump over to that sheet.
Were they heels at that point still?
Yes. It was all heel match. On
Raw. That's an interesting combination.
Yeah, let me find it real quick. I mean, I feel like it was good, but it
just depends how much did Owen carry it up.
Right.
Because Yoko at that point, not quite the guy he was 2 years earlier. Mabel, Mo. How old is Mo? Was he like 50 when he was fighting?
No, I think it's just a white dye. I know, okay. He does look old. I went 2 stars, and Chad went 2.25 on the Owen and Yoko one.
His body looks like a giant grape. I mean, it doesn't help that they're in purple, obviously, but like it's like a pear grape that I'm not impressed with at all.
Yeah. Okay, well, not impressed.
Fringe? I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's a solid no for me because they were so memorable for the time. Super over, purple, very big, very, very big bodies.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm torn. Like, I kind of want to... All right, let's put on Fringe.
Yeah, I mean, like, we put Morocco and Orton, who only have a handful of matches in research, you know, or like, so.
Okay.
Fringe, Men on a Mission.
Who would have thought?
And look, didn't they just also teach us what rap was?
Crap, yes.
Oh, hey, oh, it's the Mission.
I will say this, actually. The crowds, like on Raw and stuff, when they were faces, like were super into them. Like, when they came out, it was a cool energy with Oscar rapping and everything else. Like, it was definitely, like, they would get fired up.
Yeah, I love his rap after the WrestleMania 10 match. Like, the music starts, and he's like, yeah, that's right. It's like he hadn't prepared anything, but...
I got nothing. You also have the slamming Yoko through the bottom of the boat. Savage Things the line, but it's their song. So.
Yeah. Look, they're the Dr. Dre's of that particular record.
So there you go. All right, I'm guessing this one's a no, and that's Mike Rotundo with Dan Spivey. Of course, was the new U.S. Express.
Get him out. Get him out of here.
I don't see much going on there.
No.
It's kind of sad when you watch them, actually. All right, Miz and Asuka.
I love the idea of the team. I love that they took like this heel in Miz and put him with like this complete crazed badass face. I thought that was a really interesting choice to put them together. I don't know why they put them together. Like, they don't usually do outside the box shit like that. But I think it's probably a no.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, are they teaming again this one?
I don't know.
I think they are. I'm going to put them on research. Because I kind of want to see how this one goes. And then, like, if they pile up some extra stuff. Is that okay?
Yeah, if you want.
I'm pretty sure they're teaming again. So, you know, we'll have 2 years of mixed matches. Which, I know they were one of the more lauded teams last year, so.
Yeah. And they got far in the tournament, too, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah! All that's right.
We got like a bunch of Miz. We got a bunch of Miz teams here. Miz and Sandow.
Maybe Fringe. Like, the idea of that team is just so fun, and like they have a couple of really good matches towards the tail end of 2014 into 2015.
Yeah, and they have like a lot of super memorable. All the shit with Mizdow mocking, you know, not mocking him, but whatever, aping him.
Something that never should have gotten over.
Right, and it gets super
got over huge.
Yeah, I think it's Fringe. I think they're at least in the conversation. I think there's enough there from a character standpoint, and yeah, a few good matches.
Yeah.
Who do they fight with? The Rhodes Brothers and stuff, right? Don't they have something with them?
They win the tag titles at Survivor Series 14. in a multi-man match. But it's just awesome the way it happens. Like, the finish is actually really interesting and fun. And then they fight the Usos at...
You're going to fight the Usos!
Usos! That was Bret Hart, Randy Savage combo. They fight Stardust, Goldust, Usos, and the Matadors at Survivor Series 2014.
Okay.
And they fight the Usos at TLC 14, the Usos again at Royal Rumble. Then I think that's kind of the end.
Yeah, because – well, Sandow's in the – it wasn't 31, the Andre, where yes. everyone wanted him to win.
That's kind of a big missed opportunity, right?
Yeah, who won that one? Was that Show?
Big Show.
Yeah.
Like, he could have won any of them.
Right. And we were at that Rumble, right? So we saw that match. I remember it was pretty funny.
Yeah. He's great. Like, he was so good in that role. He's one of those guys that, like, they threw a lot of shit at him, and he always seemed to make it work. Because we were also at the Money in the Bank in Boston where he right. came out dressed as – who was he? Was he Thomas Jefferson?
Or, yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah. John Adams or something.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and he's
Samuel
making that.
Adams. One of the Adamses. One of the Adams family.
Chris Adams. American patriot Chris Adams.
You're going to fight the Usos here tonight.
I'm going to fight Chris Adams. I'm going to fight Samuel Adams.
Bunch of goddamn bullshit.
My loving brother Adam. So Fringe?
Yeah. All right. Miz and Morrison.
Yeah.
Top 50 for me.
Yeah, top 50, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're great. And really is what got Miz on the track. Like, he was starting to get it, and then boom. That, you know, they were one of the teams in that, you know, B-team, New Age Outlaws mold where they were kind of just given something and they got it over hard themselves by doing the fuck was it called? Not the Miz TV, whatever the hell it was.
I know, the online show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and kind of ahead of their time, too, a little bit for that. So,
no, they were great. Yeah, they were great.
Yeah, we'll talk more about them later.
Full show. All right, Miztourage, I guess, slash B-team now. I think they were added to this list before.
I don't know. I'd probably have them as a no.
Yeah. And need a little bit more. Like, they've actually meshed really well and been pretty fun, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Curtis Axel's another guy that just... Almost like Mizdow. They keep putting him in these... And he's really kind of weird situations, and but he doesn't get it over as well as I keep calling him Mizdow. Sandow.
Right.
As Sandow does. Like, he was the Hogan to Sandow Savage, like when they were aping the Mega Powers a few years ago.
Oh, right, yeah, they have that. He's going to be one of those guys that you're going to look back and all of a sudden he had like a 15 or 16 year career and be like, how the fuck did he hang around that long? That's going to be him.
Yeah. Why on earth did they never let him use his real name?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, they went with Michael McGillicuddy first.
Blazing his own trail, as the natural song says.
Like, are we to believe that's Beulah's son?
She was a slut.
Probably fuck Kurt Angle.
Maybe it's Raven's son.
Oh my god, man. You're blowing my mind. Whose son is this guy? He's got his grandfather's round face, so...
He does. Like a big cherub. Okay. Eminem, top 50?
Yeah.
Another great team. God, Morrison's got a claim, huh? He's like one of the best tag workers they've had.
Yeah, Morrison's one of those guys that I think I might have undervalued on the individual GWWE.
Did you have... Where do we have him? I think I had
you,
him, like... In,
you
like
had
80s.
Him on, and I, yeah. and I had him at, like, 107 or something.
Yeah, I
so
think,
you had him.
I want to say 80s. I had him, I think, somewhere in there, like 88,
he's really,
89.
And he's still good.
Yeah. All right, here's one that's going to make you work and fur your brow and just crumble in questions. Money Inc.
Hi. Why are you doing this to me? No.
Okay.
And I know that's a controversial, but you know what? You know why?
Yeah, I know. I know.
They're fucking awful. But I guess Fringe. I guess I.
Yeah, I think when people would first think of him, honestly, they would think like a lock. And I think a lot of people would see them like in the middle, you know. But yeah. I think it comes down to what kind of list you're going to build. Are you going to really favor like actual teams and put a lot of stock into that and knock down like some of the teams we've talked about, like Angle and Rousey, Hogan and T, you know, like teams like that, that we're going to give some love, Bret and Owen. So they might only have a few matches, but we don't care.
Yeah.
If you're going to type that as like really values, like real teams that have a lot of matches that were presented as a team and ran the division, like if that's your criteria,
then they'd have to be on. They'd have to be high.
Correct. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you're doing kind of what we're doing, that's where you get them as a fringe candidate because they really do lack any good matches.
And yeah.
I'm, you know, nostalgically, like I like them, you know, but watching a lot of their stuff, like even as characters,
they're not interesting.
They're not, because it's like DiBiase's kind of checked out. And IRS only gets so interesting, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's like, yeah. He's a fine house show worker.
Right.
And, you go there, you boo him.
DiBiase is just like past caring at that point when they get together in 92. I think it's interesting because there's only 92 is like the only year I really feel this way, but I feel like there's a real lack of content because there's no summer pay-per-view. And there's no...
In 92?
Right. And I don't want to say there's no weekly TV, because there is. There's Superstars.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because Savage wasn't really on TV. For whatever reason, I mean, 92 feels like there's a gap. So, like, Money Inc., like, their prime run, I feel is kind of like lost in that vast summer of 92.
Well, it's also... It's also such a transition year.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you think of all the people that left the company from like WrestleMania till the end of the year, it's insane. So like, I think that helps it feel empty because you end up having so many matches that are of little consequence as the year goes on, and the main event pool becomes so dilute, so small. It goes from having like at Royal Rumble 92, you got like 8 or 9 like main eventers almost, and then you get to Survivor Series and you've got like 4 or 5, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's a very strange year in that way. When you say there's no summer pay-per-view, you're talking about in June?
Yeah, there's no mid-year okay, show. Mid, like there's no King of the Ring, but also Saturday's main event is pretty much gone. Like they have the two.
Yeah.
But through 91, they at least had one in April. You know what I mean? Like it's like nothing. And Savage barely is on TV. The whole summer is weird. It's like this weird mix of feuds that never go anywhere. You know, so it's like odd stuff happening week to week.
You got Flair not doing anything, like, or except, like, just being kind of like a tertiary part of that title feud, like.
Right. It's a weird year. And you got Hogan leaves, Warrior's in, but he's not. Then Sid Lee, like, there's just so much going on. And I feel like most of the year when I think of it, I think of, like, the mid-car, like Tatanka, Shawn,
right.
Martel. Like, those are the guys I think of when I picture the summer of 92. So I think, like, Money just gets gobbled up in that because they get together in February. They get the shitty match at Mania, and then the next thing you really picture them doing, unless you watch those house show matches where they fought natural disasters, is SummerSlam. You know, and then I know you're cold in that match. At best, it's mid-level.
Right.
And other than that, you know, they're in that Survivor Series match is not good.
No, it's boring.
And then Rumble, they don't have a match. They're in the Rumble. 9, we've talked about, is a mess.
Yeah.
King of the Ring, that's like barely a match that they're in. And then they're done. So guess how much stock you put in like the Hogan Beefcake feud, you know, going into it, leading up
less
to Mania.
Zero.
So like, if you don't put much there, what I don't know what else they really have feud wise, I guess they get the, you know, fun little 2 week thing with the Beverly Brothers and I guess. All right. So what they do have is the Steiners, right? So post King of the Ring, the Steiner cage match is really good. And I think they have some other decent stuff out there like floating around. The cage match to me is their best. I think it's their best match as a team.
I'd have to check it out. I've not seen it. For the cage match though, does that,
I have
cancel
it at 3.
Three. That's it. Does that cancel out their bad?
Not all the bad. No.
Cause I mean like that, I mean, I don't want to harp on it again, but that WrestleMania match is the shits, like just Just a terrible, terrible piece of business. And it's so long. And given so much time build up, and for to deliver that is just upsetting.
I say Fringe just because they have so much volume and they were a top team of the year, and intangibles are there. Like them beating a Beefcake with the briefcase is pretty fun. The Steiner stuff is good. And even the Ramon. I mean, they're the catalyst for Ramon turning face.
That's true.
Which
That's
is
true.
Big, obviously. So,
like, it's a team that should work. But I think what you said at the beginning with like DiBiase kind of winding down, maybe a little unmotivated, probably hurts the whole package. Because IRS was never that fascinating. All right, let's put them in Fringe and we'll scream about them later.
Okay. So here's another team I haven't seen a ton of, but I know they'll belong on the list. There's a couple coming up. Well, actually, well, I don't know. You let me know which of these two. So we got Mr. Fuji and Mr. Saito and Mr. Fuji and Professor Tanaka. I know Fuji and Tanaka belong on, so I'm putting them on the bottom 50 for right now.
Sure. Okay. But with a caveat that we should probably look into them.
Oh, we have to, for sure. Yeah. But I don't want to stick them on research, because to me, like, if we don't get to some of those research teams, I'm going to rely on others. Like, I know Fuji and Tanaka belong in. Like, I know that.
Right.
Fuji and Saito, I'm not as up on. Are you at all?
No, I'd have to have to research them.
Okay.
So put it in research.
All right. All right. Then we got Perfect and Savage, who I think is probably a no, because I think their only match together is Savari Serizani 2, which is a good match, but not enough.
Yeah, it tells a weird the match tells a weird story though. Like I don't love Perfect, like the feigning of the walking out and
right.
Like it just feels so strange after everything that's happened that that's the story they're telling.
I feel like it does, because like I kind of like that like Perfect's not suddenly a face, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's actually still a dick. Like he just hates, he's just mad at Bobby, so he agrees to team with Savage. So like he's still kind of an asshole, and then he slowly, it's interesting because he never really embraces being a face in 93, which I give as a credit to his character. Like he's still a dick all through that year. He slaps some hands and smirks and stuff, but like, he never goes full babyface. Like, he's still an asshole all throughout 93.
You can't be called Mr. Perfect and be kissing babies and, like, it doesn't work.
All right. Okay. So, no.
No, no, no.
All right, Perfect and Genius.
Oh, I love that team. I love the Genius so much. I love that pairing. I love Perfect. He's one of my favorite guys. I just don't know. Dude, I don't think they have the volume.
I mean, they get the Saturday's main event match.
Yeah. They must have teamed at house shows.
Oh, I'm sure they did a ton.
Yeah.
You know, with Hogan and Beefcake and shit like that.
Yeah.
But nothing. I mean, let me see what I had that Saturday's main event match at. What was that? Early 90?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like January. Or was that the January might have been the singles match. The singles match was first, right?
No, Warrior Perfect is in January. Hogan Perfect is April.
Where's Hogan Genius?
That's right. So they don't have the – do they have a tag? I thought they did.
I thought they had it on a Saturday Night's Main Event, but I guess not.
Genius Hogan is November 89.
90?
November 89.
Okay.
And then January 90, Warrior fights Perfect. April 90, Hogan fights Perfect. No, they never had a tag.
Right.
I thought they did too.
I wonder, I guess they didn't view the Genius as a serious manager. This is why they moved him to Heenan, right?
Correct.
Like to kind of pump him up a bit.
Yeah, they were trying to get him like reestablished. I'm going through like late 89 quick. He's just fighting Roma like on all these house shows. Genius is.
Is he winning at least?
He was. Sam Houston.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of tags in 89. He's just all over the place. A lot of Roma, my God.
Because by mid 90, they're not together anymore. So
no, so let me just check early 90 quick. No, he's just with him there.
Mr. Perfect.
Oh, so right here, Primetime, 129.90. Hogan and Warrior would be perfect in... Wait, so that is Saturday. Best of Day of Saturday's main event. But on Scott and I's grades, I have Hogan versus... I have Warrior versus Perfect. That's weird. Maybe I just mistyped it.
Maybe.
Because I remember there being a tag match, too, and Hogan's on that card.
Yeah, and he would be.
Right.
What, it's from January 90?
Yeah.
Yeah, he would have certainly been on the card.
Right. It's got to be. I must just have typed it wrong on there.
Okay.
I know that they had a tag. I mean, I...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was pretty sure it came after the singles match where Genius's triumphant win.
Yeah, it's January 90. Hogan and Warrior beat Perfect and Genius. So I'm assuming this grade is accurate, though, and I gave that 2.5.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. They probably just don't have the volume.
Yeah, okay. It's a lot of time spent on a team that's worthless.
Yeah, we'll never... they're not worth... Hey, whoa. We'll never talk about them again.
I know. All right. Muhammad Hassan and Daivari.
Ugh, no. I mean, unless you want to really give weight to, like, the Hogan-Michaels stuff. But...
yeah. Fuck. I do like them.
I actually love the idea of that team and that character, the way it was originally conceived, before it just went like full terrorist.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Right after the London bombing.
I'll go now. I think they had the potential. And yeah, I mean, like you said, depends how much you want to put on Hogan, and which I actually like that match.
Oh, me too.
That's like a snapshot Saturday Night's Main Event type match.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's a shame. That whole character is kind of a shame. But he also wasn't a very good worker, so it probably didn't help.
Are you ready to head to Pity City?
Oh, no.
Where the nasty boys get a real bad sensation.
Did they ever have a song that was like, "We're the nasty boys. We're the nasty boys."
Well, no, WCW, they had the... We're the nasty boys. We're like a real bad infection.
Ugh. Ugh.
The Dirty F theme was just like record scratching.
They didn't have something before? The nasty boys. Or did I dream? Did I dream?
I think it's like a Janet Jackson song.
They just came up to Janet Jackson's nasty. Interesting choice, Vince. Are we looking fringe?
Or maybe Biggie's? Fuck. I don't know. All right. So compare them to Money Inc. for me.
I think they have better matches than Money Inc.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Like the Hart Foundation match where they win the titles is good. Where they lose the titles is good. So there's two good matches already. They're in that Survivor Series match, right, with the Money Inc. And then... We're the nasty boys. We're the nasty boys. I think I dreamt it. I think I might have dreamt it. I think they just have a... They're like... I don't want to say they're a good, solid team because that feels like a lot of hyperbole for them, but... We're the nasty boys.
Noms and Jerry boys. Sags.
Take you to Pity City.
With Jimmy Hart, our manager, Jimmy Hart.
God, imagine what their hotel room smelled like.
It's Jimmy Hart. And Jimmy Hart.
Where do you put them versus Money Inc.? We're the boys.
We're the nasty boys.
Boys. I know in WCW I hated them.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime it came up, I
hate them just for that match with Arn Anderson and Paul Roma.
Oh, it's fucking terrible. It's just terrible.
28 minutes or whatever the fuck it is you'll never get back. I have them in bottom 50 in the WWF.
Bottom 50? Wow.
I mean, I just feel like they're on for a while. I really like the Hart match. I like the LOD match at SummerSlam. Like you said, they're in the Survivor Series match. One of the down matches they're in is the Survivor Series 91. That real long match with the Rockers and the Bushwhackers.
Terrible. And it's just trying to tell the Rockers breakup story, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a little rough. One should have been good, too.
And then even WrestleMania 8, like that 8-man's kind of fun.
Yeah. Ray Combs does a number on them.
Yeah.
Before he did a number on himself, am I right?
Poor Ray.
Yeah.
And then 93, they just get fucked by the Mega Maniacs. Like, I think they would have been pretty over as face champs or something like that.
Sure, sure.
So yeah. I think they're super memorable characters, too. They were good promos. I don't know. Yeah, I just like them.
So, yeah, put them on.
I'd put them ahead of Money Inc. I would, for sure.
I would.
And the Hart match is underrated. I like that match a lot.
I like it, too.
And maybe it's properly rated. Actually, a lot of people like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna rewatch the SummerSlam title change again soon, because I remember liking that too. But I don't remember if it's just LOD destroying them or I think there's some.
No, they get a lot of offense in that.
Yeah,
I went so on our SummerSlam rewatch. I went 2.25.
Right.
But it's everyone's right around that 2.5 mark.
Yeah, I'm probably at it'll probably be like a 3 for me. I would imagine. I kind of have to see.
Okay.
Because if something's good, I tend to just go 3.
Okay, so there you go.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, here's the top 50, I'm assuming, the New Age Outlaws.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
They'll be an interesting. I don't know if we covered them in Making the Cut at all, but or in No Holds Barred earlier.
We at least danced around them a bit.
Right. I think that's a very interesting discussion, them. So.
Yeah, because they've got some really interesting talking points. We'll get there.
All right, so here's another top 10, I think, and that's the new Blackjacks.
Yeah, put them in. All right. which Blackjack mustache did you prefer?
Wyndham's was awful, so Bradshaw's.
Yeah, Bradshaw's. Bradshaw's just in a lot of shitty teams at first.
I feel like, too, they had some potential.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were almost like a year too early and a year too late. like they came at like the exact worst possible time. Like, if they were a couple years earlier as like this old school Haas Bruiser team, maybe it works, you know, like maybe they have a cool match with like Owen and Yoko or something. And if they come later, maybe they're the APA.
Yeah.
You know, if Wyndham wasn't such a fucking mess, right? So like maybe they just beat the shit out of people and they're kind of like the badass team. But as it is where they are, it's kind of like WWF was transitioning to something kind of cool and they just felt like outdated and the mustaches are goofy. It felt like a very old gimmick at a time when they didn't need that, right?
Well, it's a gimmick from the 70s.
Right, but there comes a time later where that is like kind of cool.
Yeah, I think they're probably really hurt by the fact that they're called the New Blackjacks.
Right, correct.
Like, I think if they're just an ass-kicking team, they're probably
it should have been like the hipster Blackjacks.
The what?
The hipster Blackjacks.
I thought you said the Easter Blackjacks. No, the hipster. Like, what is that?
The hipster Blackjacks. If they had like the mustache, like the Simon Gotch mustache with little curls on it. And
yeah, like they went even older.
Like Simon Urban Gotch. Cowboy kind of thing. You know, like they're living in Brooklyn. Opening a speakeasy.
Playing jacks on the stoop.
Yeah, open a speakeasy.
Yep.
All right.
Password, see?
So they're no. But here is a legit top 10 team. That's the New Day.
Yeah. Getting better every day, too. Their case gets stronger every day.
Yeah. Are they catching the Usos for you yet?
Usos! They might. I don't know. Like, I just watched...
Are they hurt? I feel like I never see them anymore. What are they doing? I guess they're around, right?
They got to be around, yeah. It's just they don't know how to, like... They don't know how to do... Like, do you remember when, like, a pay-per-view in their 80s and 90s, you get, like, 5 tag matches.
Right.
And now you maybe get 1. And it's for the tag titles. I watched the SummerSlam match from 2015 where they win the titles back from the Primetime Players.
Yeah.
And I think that's where they really turned the corner. Like, because people were really not into them for a while when they first started. But then they win that match and they do that fucking goofy celebration where, like, Kofi's jumping up and down the ring and Big E's running around. Like, and I think it's there that it really kind of – the next month they come out, they've got the trombone.
Right.
Like, it's right around there that the people really start to get behind them, which is cool.
Yeah.
And every match I've seen in 2015 is at least good.
Okay. Let's save the New Day talk because we're going to get there.
Yeah.
All right. We got another new team. That's a new foundation. So we talked about them when Anvil died. And I don't remember where we landed. We talked about how you have the 94 stuff as well. So you get that match of Brett and Bulldog. But I think we settled on that wasn't that great.
No.
So out, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we don't have the sympathy right now for Anvil we did a while ago.
True. It's faded like a candle in the wind.
It seems to me like you lived your life like an anvil in the wind.
That's no longer still standing.
The wind wouldn't affect it at all.
Yeah. All right. Here's another new team that's going on the no list. That is the new Midnight Express.
God damn it. You don't like Bodacious Bart and Bombastic Bob?
Yeah. Which is sad because I think if they put him as Bart Gunn and Bob Holly, like it could have been a cool little team. Like they're not bad once the bell rings. Like they're fine, you know?
Yeah.
Everything about them, the hair and all that shit.
Yeah, and Jim Cornette like just acting like they're the regular Midnight Express.
New Orient Express.
Oh, that's Kato.
Kato and Tanaka.
Kato, Tanaka. Okay, who has the match with the Rockers?
That's this team.
Then they're the ones that are in, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I can fuck with that. I mean, they're good. They don't get many other chances besides that. They do have that match with LOD on the main event where they just get destroyed.
yeah.
Tanaka, like, I think, eats the awful Doomsday device. He just fucking gets flipped inside out. I think it's him.
Yeah, it is.
But
I think they're like bottom 50, but like hanging on.
Right.
I mean, we'll see what happens with the
fringe. I think that should probably mean that they're fringe.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. I'm putting them as good as that match is. I mean, I don't. They really have like no feuds. Basically, a jobber team beyond that. Yeah. So, all right. Nikolai Volkoff and the Iron Sheik.
I think they're probably bottom 50.
Yeah.
Like they're super memorable. good heel tag champs. Not necessarily great in ring guys, but
super
by that point.
Huge moment too at WrestleMania.
Oh yeah, huge, and nuclear heat for the most part. The idea of Iran and Russia fighting the U.S. right, like it just all works.
Yeah, no, I agree. Okay, let's put them there. Plus, you get the double combo of the Russian national anthem and Iron Sheik's Hakuli all over the place.
It's perfect.
All right, if the New Orient Express is fringe, the Old Orient Express is a no, right?
He's a no, yeah.
I mean, they got nothing. Like, they have their chance at WrestleMania 6. That sucked. And then they fight Duggan and Volkoff at SummerSlam 90. And then Survivor Series 90. They're in that fucking terrible, stupid mess.
Yeah. That with the longest pre-match promo ever.
It's longer than the match.
And the drum music's playing the whole time.
Oh, like, yeah, I know.
The poor crowd. They can't hear the interview. It's just 10 minutes of music. Yeah, is the New Orient Express the best new team ever?
Based on this list, unless you count New Day as the new team, but
the old day was just shit.
Yeah, I think so. Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett.
Probably bottom 50 fringe. It's in there. I wouldn't outright say no.
Yeah, probably fringe. Because what's their
like?
I don't know.
Have any really great matches. They're just
no. And they got fucked at 15 because they got stuck with Test and D'Lo in that stupid match. And then they fight what Shamrock and Boss Man in that real long fucking match at Armageddon or no Rock Bottom, whatever it was.
Yeah,
I'll put them fringe. I don't anticipate they make it though.
I don't know. They were such a focal. Again, it depends what time, what kind of list you're making. Like they were the focal point of the tag division for a time, not a great time, but they got a halfway decent match with Brown and Henry. It's a Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yeah, that's right. They got that too. All right. So what do you want to put in bottom?
I put them in fringe. Like I don't mind putting them fringe and working them up.
Okay.
Like,
all right. Here's a top Owen Bulldog.
Top 50,
yeah.
I'd say. Yeah.
Definitely. How about Owen Yoko?
Hmm. I don't think I'd put them top 50.
Okay.
Bottom 50, probably. I don't know. Like, big moment at WrestleMania 11,
mm-hmm.
but not a ton of great tag title defenses.
No, I mean, the Ally Powers match is kind of blah. The Guns matches are fun, like the rematch, and then in your the night after in your house 3. Excuse me, it's pretty good.
I have the rematch at 3 stars. I have Allied Powers at 3 stars. That's kind of where it tops out. I mean,
Let me see what that Guns rematch was on Raw.
Have the I don't even know if I have it still. The In Your House 3 match.
Oh yeah.
Did we count that?
Yeah, of course. Oh no. It's not. No, it's not. It's Yoko and Bullock.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Excuse me.
So the next night, I have that at 2.25. Chad went 2.5. Yoko and the Guns. That's the next night after that.
Yeah.
And then the Raw match. WrestleMania 11.
I have WrestleMania 11, 2.5. There you go.
Yeah, I think bottom 50 is fine. I mean, they were. I don't think we can undersell the stabilization they provided for that division. And, they kind of set the tone for, like, a Jericho kind of team, right, later on and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of the random mismatch, big man, little man. And you know, they're together, like, all through. Even at Survivor Series, they worked together as a team. They had that match I mentioned earlier with Men on a Mission that wasn't bad. They had one with Razor and Savio as well. Hang on, let me get that one. So. Plus so Men on Mission, I had a 2. Guns vs. Yoko, I went 2.25. They're part of that 6-man. I had a 3.25. Diesel, Michaels, Taker versus Yoko in a Bulldog that has a big heel beatdown.
Right.
Then I thought they fought. Hang on, this is for me and Scott. I got shit all over. I got to make like one sheet. I got stuff all over the place.
And later,
I have it at 2. 2.5. They fought consecutive weeks. I have 2.5 and 2. Scott had 3.5. Right. Razor and Savio against Owen and Yoko.
Savio Vega, 3.5-star match?
Well, that's on Scott scale, so that's a little... Scott scale is always a little heavy.
Kenny Omega will be getting, like, 10 stars.
They fought Holly and Kid in April. I went 2.5 there. 2.5 on that 6-man I mentioned last time. Brett, Holly and Kid versus Yoko, Hakushi, and Owen. And that's pretty much it for them.
So it's like a long list of like
2.5, 3 matches. Right. And then what gets them into the list versus like a Money Inc. is more interesting characters.
Matches are ticked better. More interesting dynamic.
They're main event level, like with Camp Cornette, they're up there for a while, you know, throughout the year.
Right. I mean the flip side to that though is that the main event scene at that point was way easier to break into.
Mm-hmm.
Than like the main event scene in 1992.
Yeah, but DiBiase had been a main eventer.
Yeah, but that was way or like you're looking at like what 4 years from that?
Yeah, I don't know. I consider him still a main eventer even if it's like 90, 91, no?
I don't think so. Not when you look at what he's doing.
He feels like a guy that has the main event cred, I guess what I'm saying. But Owen Yoko to me, yes, it's easier to break in, but other teams weren't. Like, they broke in because they had the cachet of main event level guys.
Yeah. Well, like...
Like the Yoko, fucking Blue Brothers aren't crashing the main event scene, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, Yoko in 95 is way more of a main eventer than DiBiase in 92. Way more, right?
Former
champion, sure. Much more imposing.
Yep.
I mean, he hasn't humiliated his manservant, but he's still up there.
At that point. All right, bottom 50 is fine. We'll talk more about them. Patterson and Briscoe. Here you go.
Top 10.
Poop stain Patterson.
I mean, look, if you're putting – honestly, if you're putting the Mean Street Posse in Fringe, I think you got to put Patterson and Briscoe too. I don't know why they're intertwined for me, but they feel like the comedy teams of that era.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I'm fine with that. I mean, that first moment where they beat the shit out of the Posse on Raw and they
awesome.
They post a real American like that real like before he became overplayed when they first
they take
up.
Their shirts off yeah
and plus I mean they just get the piss beat out of him at Over the Edge 98 like you know they're basically a team there the stuff with them training Vince for the match with Austin I'm okay with Fringe Paul Orndorff and David Schultz I mean I'm guessing no I can't imagine they got much
No.
Okay. Power and Glory.
Oh, man. Like, I want them to be top 50. Like, I love the idea of that team, but it's just not there, right?
Right.
And I don't even know if they have enough to get them in the bottom 50. To me, they're one of the biggest missed opportunity teams ever. I don't know. I love that team, but I mean, what are their big matches?
None. Just them destroying the Rockers.
Which I love, I think that's the best match on that show.
Mm-hmm. But, that Survivor Series match is a touch of a slog, but they're pretty good in it.
The Visionaries?
Yeah.
Well, it's okay. Like,
and they make the main event, too.
Yeah, and then Hogan gets the finisher.
And then, I mentioned for the Nasty Boys earlier, too, is that Tag Team Battle Royal and Superstars. I always love that match. Power and Glory plays a big role in that, too.
I haven't seen that since it aired, probably.
Yeah. It's a fun one. Then they get decimated at Mania 7. Summer 91, that opener's pretty fun, too. They're in there.
Yeah, fun six-man. Maybe, I want to say maybe about a three.
I'm going to put them bottom for now. They're a good squash team, too. They have a great finisher, a great look, great character. Like, I think they have a lot of stuff.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think they'll survive.
We'll see if they get bumped out, but... And that Powerplex is just so cool. Paul Roman gets a lot of shit, but like when I rewatch a lot of his tag work, I think he's quite a fun tag worker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll talk about him more when we get to the Young Stallions, I'm sure.
All right, Powers of Pain. So let's compare it to Power and Glory. I think they probably have a little bit more of a case than Power and Glory does.
I mean, they're part of a bigger angle.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're super over as faces.
Yeah.
They have those three straight destructions of the Bolsheviks. And I think I mentioned that one that I liked from the house show the best. They're the biggest team in that Survivor Series match.
Yeah.
Depends what you think of five, I guess.
Five. I forget how I have that. But yeah... But then they kind of split them up pretty quickly after that.
I have five at 2 stars the last time I watched it.
I have five at 2.5.
And, of course, they're in the Survivor Series match with a friggin' – what's his name?
Is that
– Hogan getting all the professional breaks.
Yeah, the DQ one. Yeah. But he gets disqualified. I guess. I mean, you're right. I guess they're ahead of Power and Glory, so you got to put them bottom 50. I don't like them as much as Power and Glory.
I don't think either team makes it in the end, but...
No, we'll put them in.
Okay.
Power and Glory didn't have that shoulder dance that Barbarian did.
That's true. And we're gonna think about it, too, though, because, like, I don't want to seep in knowing how good Barbarian is, like, later. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Knowing how big the Warlord is.
Right. All right, Princess Victoria and Velvet McIntyre.
I mean,
I'm gonna say research.
I guess
I've come to like Velvet a decent amount watching the MSG stuff. Like, she's better than I think everyone only knew her from WrestleMania 2.
Right.
That awful match with Moolah.
Fucking terrible.
Yeah, but there's other, like, she has some pretty good stuff on those house shows, and she was actually quite the little worker. I think Scott and I even brought up that I thought she deserved a spotlight to be like, if you watch Survivor Series 87, she gets quite the run.
Right. And I quite like that match.
Right. I think she deserved better.
I don't think she deserved to be called a little worker. I don't think you needed to demean her like that.
All right. Primo and Epico.
They've been around forever.
Yeah. They're like McGillicuddy there that we're going to say, yeah. Like, God, how have they been around this long?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to dismiss them outright because they've had good matches. Even as the stupid Matadors, they were still okay to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think maybe Fringe.
Yeah,
for them.
Okay. I mean, I don't think they get a shot, but you're right. They shouldn't just be like gassed out and said, never talk about them again. So,
no, they've been around too long.
Yeah. Okay. Public Enemy. That's a big fat no.
No.
I think they had what, two matches, and one of them was getting destroyed by the APA.
Where? The Public Enemy! The Public Enemy! Did I dream that one too?
Yeah, I mean, or you could have sung like a Public Enemy song. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
All right, Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt.
So, one of the few... Yeah. I remember, like, when it happened, everyone being like, this storyline makes no sense, and it's stupid, but I came to quite enjoy watching them together.
I did. I liked them a lot.
Yeah, I really liked that they won that Survivor Series together.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really cool. I liked that they became tag champs, yes. Yeah, yep. They did. I liked that. Their blow-off was one of the worst things I've ever seen, but... I don't
know. I'm putting them bottom 50.
Bottom?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Put them.
It rejuvenated Orton. Like that was, I thought it was like really good stuff. Like that whole run. Like it was cool. Like it was to the point where I didn't want it to be a setup. You know what I mean? Like I just wanted them to stay together. Like it's,
yeah.
Like it was really cool the way they did it. And I thought Orton looked cool. You know, I thought it rejuvenated Bray quite a bit. It actually got him up to the level of winning the title. Like I don't think he gets to that point without that run, you know?
Well, I mean, I'd argue he wasn't at that point anyway, but...
Yeah, but he was dead in the water before that.
Yes.
And that put him on the radar, you know?
He was no longer dead in the water, but he wins the title out of nowhere. Out of nowhere! Perfect.
Right, right, just to set up the match. But, it was believable, you know what I mean?
I guess.
Whereas a year earlier, forget it. You know,
like I just don't understand that choice. Like, why did that feud need a title? It already had a story.
No, it didn't. It didn't. And if it did, then Bray should have kept it.
Yeah, and Bray should have also probably beat AJ Styles,
right?
Instead of the useless John Cena run for a month, just to break the record.
All right, Randy Savage and Jesse Ventura. That's a no, I'm guessing. That's the only team like once, maybe.
Yeah.
Although
great
I think
idea.
I don't know, I'd have to look it up quick. I think, did they have the match with Bruno or something? Like, where did they team?
Well, isn't there one where Ventura, like, comes out of retirement on Saturday Night's Main Event? Is that with Savage?
Yeah, he's in that six man.
Yeah. Is that even with Savage, though?
No, it's with Piper. No.
That's right.
It's after when they laugh at the wedding or whatever.
Yeah, the hillbillies, that's right.
I'm trying to see here quick if it. I don't know when they even would have tagged. If it was like 85.
They're not going to make the top 100.
No, they're not. They're not. But I didn't know if they had that one big match. You know what I mean? Like, I can't remember if they teamed. Anyway. All right. Savage and Zeus. No. If we're not giving Hogan a beefcake run, they're not going to get it.
But let's give them props for that promo where with the cauldron where yes, Sherry is a witch.
Yes. What do you think of Sherry the witch? Like, I feel like they didn't go far enough or long enough with that.
Well, I mean. Yeah, I mean, it should have gone further, obviously. She should have had some sort of magical powers. Have you seen the promo where she climbs the cage?
Yes.
Where she's like, you don't know where I am! Like, that's peak wrestling promo right there.
But it's a no.
No, it's a no. It's definitely a no.
All right, rated RKO.
I'd probably go no.
Hmm.
I just don't think they have enough. I'm really not a fan of the. Have we talked about DX? Probably not yet, eh? Because you don't. I guess we don't have them listed as Degeneration X.
Right. I think we have Shawn Michaels and Triple H.
Yeah.
No, actually, we have Triple H and Shawn Michaels. Sorry, yeah, we haven't gotten to them yet.
Oh, because you have T.
We have a ton of T's.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't feel like enough for long enough. And what do you think? You want to put them fringe or you want to go even higher?
No, I think fringe. I think we're going to kind of revisit a little bit of what they did. And I know they didn't have a ton, but they did have some stuff.
I mean, the least egregious of the DX matches are against them.
Yeah. I mean, even the one where Triple H gets hurt is pretty good.
Yeah, but I also mean in terms of like, helpful to the business and such.
Yeah,
like,
yes.
Yeah, like at least they're fighting. They're kind of separate. They're fighting main eventers.
All right, Razor Ramon and 1-2-3 Kid.
That's a really interesting one because you got the. We talked about them, didn't we? Didn't we talk about them on a previous No Holds Barred?
All boys together.
Yeah.
We may have. I mean, I'm watching their whole breakup angle now. They have the two matches at the Inner Houses, 3 and 4. Chad and I have talked about that on Wrestling Warzone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, yeah, we did a little bit. You know what? We did. Because we talked about the Action Zone tag.
Yeah.
And that's really good. Yeah. I don't know. Debating bottom or fringe. Just because, I mean, the Action Zone tag is so good.
Yeah.
I'll put him fringe.
Yeah. Because if you're part of one of the better tag matches in company history, to that point anyway, like, you probably deserve to at least be in the conversation.
Right. Well, like, where would you... all right, we'll get the Shawn and Diesel. Maybe we can reassess then.
Yeah.
All right. Renee Dupree and Kenzo Suzuki.
No.
It's sad, too, because that's one of my guilty pleasure teams. Like, it's so ludicrous. And, like,
right.
So Kenzo was fun and, like, all the dancing and the smirking. And, that, like, I don't know. I like that team.
Yeah.
But they don't have enough.
It's just not there.
Right. But.
And, again, during an awful tag period.
Right. But they are fun. All right. Kidman and Rey Mysterio.
See, the Kidman teams for me all blend together.
Mm-hmm.
What did they have as a team?
They have the awesome match with World's Greatest Tag Team.
Where is it?
Vengeance 03.
Vengeance 03. I wonder what I gave it because I watched it recently. Is that that? But that's it, right?
Maybe.
Who did they fight?
World's Greatest Tag Team.
Right. For whatever reason, I don't have it listed. But I remember it being really good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Scott and I were doing stars at that point, but I think it's...
Oh, there we go.
Four-ish, at least.
I have it at 4.
Yeah.
There we go.
I mean, I'm thinking they teamed a little bit in 03 some more beyond that. I think
they must have
the
teamed
titles.
On SmackDown. And, yeah. Research?
Because
they have a 4-star match, which
right.
a ton of these teams don't have. And then, like, I mean, if they have, like, 4 or 5 more really good to great matches, they make the list, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to check quick on Graham. Wikipedia doesn't have anything about them teaming.
Right.
Let me check SmackDown real quick. 03 SmackDown.
Yeah, Kidman is one of those ones. He was in a bunch of teams during that era, right?
Well, he's got the London one.
Yeah.
All right, so he's still Cruiserweight champ for a while in early 93. 03. All right. So they fought Matt Hardy and Shannon Moore. These are all the SmackDown matches.
Right.
They fought the Conquistadors, apparently.
Probably. Probably great.
They were in like a 4-pack with the Acolytes, Palumbo, and Stamboli, and the Bashams.
Probably a mess.
They fought World's Greatest in March. 7-minute match. So that's like before they were really teaming.
Right.
They fought World's Greatest again, August 3rd. They fight to Jerry Nunzio, 9/11. So, and then that's it. Yeah. I'd say either Fringe or Research.
I'd put him in Research because the potential's there, right?
Yeah.
It might be really great, so we should probably do some due diligence on
that. I just
that.
Want to get lost on the research list because I think they might sneak in, honestly. Like, we have to watch those SmackDown matches.
Yeah, we can do that. That's no problem.
Easily accessible. All right, Rhino and Heath Slater.
No.
Okay. Not even with the crackers?
No. I mean, they're fun, but...
Right, I know. All right, Rhythm and Blues. That's a no as well, right?
No, and sadly, it's a no. For that upper lip that Greg Valentine would do coming to the ring. I'm going to put him on the list.
And they also have the stuff before they were actually Rhythm and Blues. I mean, this
yeah.
that.
They get beat up by the Hart Foundation.
All right, Flair and Batista.
That feels fringe. They're a team for a while. They're part of Evolution. It felt like a big deal. It was kind of Batista's...
I'm going to go bottom 50.
You think bottom 50, eh?
They're together a while, and it's such a big part of Batista's development. You get the WrestleMania 20 tag, which is great. And there were, like, a ton of six-men and eight-men stuff that was, like, well-lauded from, like, 04.
Yeah, okay. It's just tough, because now when I'm looking – I have no choice now, but I'm looking at our list, and I'm like, I'm looking at the fringe, and I'm like, do you put them ahead of this team or this team? So, but that'll kind of sort itself out later.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I think they're good enough for bottom 50. I mean, just the 20 match alone, you know.
Right.
I know they had Orton in there, too, but –
Yeah.
All right, Flair and Ramon, that's a no to me. Right. You on board there?
I said no.
I didn't hear you. It dropped out, oh. Okay.
Excuse me.
Jerk. All right, Ric Flair and Roddy Piper.
I think it's probably a no.
Right, I mean, their only stuff is 06, right?
Yeah. And
it's fun.
Fun. It's not horrible.
Right.
I mean, they look horrible.
Piper especially looks horrible.
I don't want to shame anybody, all right. But...
All right, Steamboat and Santana. I think that's a research for me. I don't know what they.
Yeah, I don't know anything of them together.
Yeah. All right. Road Dogg and X-Pac, the fake New Age Outlaws.
I think no.
Yeah.
Like they're not bad. They're
what's
okay.
Their best stuff is just Kane and Rikishi at 16. And then the dumpster stuff with the Dudleys, right? Is that pretty much it?
So.
Okay. RVD and Booker T.
This one of those teams, it just all feels blended, right?
Mm-hmm.
RVD, Booker T, RVD, Kane. I mean,
they were champs in 04 for a decent amount. They had that awful mashup theme. That was bad.
Oh, yeah. God. I mean, I want to say no.
Yeah,
I don't think they have any,
I'm fine with
anything
that.
Memorable. Like,
no, I'm fine with that.
Okay. Road Dogg and X-Pac have a couple of good matches.
Yeah.
But that's it.
All right. RVD and Ray.
I don't remember a single thing they did.
They had... They do win the titles, or they are champions, and I think they fight at Armageddon 04, Suzuki and Dupree, maybe. And then RVD gets hurt while they're champs or while they're wrestling together as a team. I don't know if they're champions or they lost it. I'm going to put them fringe. There may be something there.
Yeah. I mean, like, I have no recollection, so I'll research them.
I remember them having some real fun, like, offense and stuff together.
Yeah, I buy that. I buy that. Did they have an awful mashup also?
No, I don't think so.
Good.
Rock and Roll Express. That's a no.
No. It's a hard no.
Okay. See you guys later.
They had to have had better pants than they wore.
It's like they did not want to spend money at all in this.
Yeah. Like, you're on Survivor Series. But like, wear your best. Don't wear the brown gray shit.
Yeah, it's crappy. Crappy. Rock and Sock Connection. Bottom?
Yeah, yeah. That's okay. A tough one because, like, it's like, you obviously, there's so much, like, character stuff mm-hmm. there for
Tons.
Both of them. But then the matches are just not really.
Well, you get 20.
Yeah. It's funny that that's the one where it's not even close to, like, peak Rock and Sock, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, this saddled with some tough shit, like snow and all that stuff in late 99. Foley was just out of shape, hurting.
Yeah, which is why he was doing it to begin with,
right? Yeah, exactly. All right, Piper and Orton.
Piper? Oh, and Cowboy Bob Orton. I have to research that one, I think. I mean, it makes sense, but I don't know how many matches they actually have.
Right. I mean, obviously great character work as a unit.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, they have some tag stuff. I'm fine with them as research. How about Piper and Orndorff? They got WrestleMania 1.
Yeah.
I don't know if they got too much leading up to that, and then that's pretty much it. I think if you're putting Hogan T on the list, they at least got to be... We have Hogan T bottom 50. I think they at least got to be fringe.
Yeah, I'll put them fringe.
Okay. I mean, they're a huge part of the match, too. Piper and Schultz, I can't imagine there's enough there.
No.
All right. Roddy Strong and Pete Dunne.
Oh, they're so good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much time they have. Like, they're not... How many matches do they have in that tournament is more the question.
Right. Three? Like, does it mean the finals? Well, but then were they a team from the start, or did they get replaced? I forget the lineage of that.
I think they were a team from the start, no? Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that sounds right. And I think... When did they have the match? I think I saw it live. January?
Oh, yeah. It was one of the takeovers, yeah.
Yeah. This year.
Yeah. I mean, they're really...
I'm fine putting bottom if you want for now.
Yeah, I guess, and we'll see if they get bumped off.
Yeah,
because they're so. I mean, they're both so good, and they work so well together. And I would say the match where the turn happens is also really, really good.
Yep, agreed. All right, Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. Would he be better if his name was Roman Reigns?
And he wore flower shirts and like.
On the big dog, man.
Hey, man, I'm the big dog. I'm gonna probably. I don't think so. Oh wait, no. Excuse me. They have the original tag run, so yes.
Right. Okay. Bottom.
Yeah, probably bottom. Where do we land on the Shield as a unit?
We broke them all up.
Okay.
So you'd have to go back and look. I mean, were they mainly? They were mainly the team, right?
Yeah, they were.
Ambrose
is
a single.
Yeah. Like, they have the matches with the Rhodes brothers.
Right.
Which, I mean, are awesome, so.
All right, Rusev Day.
Oh, man. Again, I just don't think they have the volume.
Yeah, they are fun.
Yeah, they're awesome. And I love that it kind of did something with Rusev.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was so the most over guy in New Orleans this year, I'll tell you that much. So.
Well, I wonder what it is about him that they just don't like. They just don't want to go to like somewhat.
Vince is jealous of his wife. That's all what it comes down to.
Did you see the video that the Facebook Live video with him and Sheamus with the Bellas thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God damn it. It's funny. No, we're not going to watch that shit. Like, he's so angry immediately.
I feel like if we redid the GWE list, the singles one, Sheamus would be even higher now.
Sheamus is my man. I think I had him like. I had him top 30.
I'm curious when we get to the bar where they go.
Have we not touched? Oh, you have them listed as like Sheamus and.
No, it was the.
Okay.
I think
okay.
We should, and we might stop before the T's tonight because there's a lot of T's. Maybe we'll get through the S's.
Can we do triple T?
All right, Rybacksel.
No.
Okay.
Look, we're going to charge through some of these. What's the next one?
Next one is Sanity. No, right?
I'd have to, it feels like a research.
Okay.
Because the War Games is really good, and they're a really big part of it. They do have an NXT tag title run, but I just haven't seen enough of it.
Okay.
So there's a potential there.
All right. Santino and Kozlov.
I mean, one of the best comedy teams of all time, right?
Right.
That T segment with Sheamus. Again, is just awesome. Fringe?
Yeah.
It feels weird to dismiss them outright, but...
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, Santino's good enough to at least merit the conversation. All right, Rollins and Ambrose. I mean, I guess all three of these units get credit for the Shield matches, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you count the Shield matches and Rollins and Ambrose? That doesn't seem fair. Like, right.
Well, we counted them for. Oh, you're saying Reigns and Rollins without the six men.
Yeah, I was looking at them as just the two of them. Like, I wasn't trying to. I mean, they're
it's a shade. The Shield's the most shadiest area of this whole thing.
Yeah, because those six man tags are all awesome,
mm-hmm.
right? But then who gets credit for those? Like,
right.
Like, do you treat the Shield like the New Day? But it's not the same because they all have such extensive tag run, singles runs, and the tag teams are all so vastly different.
Yep. Yeah, it's tough. It's a tricky one. I mean, but I feel like they are teaming in those matches, but do you look at them as three singles guys in those matches? Or do you look at it as Reigns and Rollins were a team in those matches and Ambrose was the singles leader? You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah, and if you start giving credit to all of them for the tag matches, then suddenly you're going to have three different teams that are climbing up the ladder almost together.
Right.
So then why not just
make them
group
the Shield?
Them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's put them Fringe for now.
Yeah,
then
I think I think Reigns and Rollins have a better case,
mm-hmm.
if you just look at their team stuff, but let's figure out what we're doing with
this. Well, and I think Reigns and Ambrose has a better case, too. They have the stuff in 15.
I don't love it. I don't find it very interesting. I'm actually watching it now.
Okay.
Like,
that was like a shrewd move to help get Reigns back over. Like, it works. Like, he's back over by the end of that run.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't think the matches themselves are that interesting.
Okay. Hall and Nash. No, right?
No,
I mean,
no.
What are they? Do they do anything? What do they have?
Well, they have the six man with Hogan, right? Or is it a handicap match? I forget.
What is that?
Don't they fight Rock and Austin?
Oh yeah, on Raw. Yeah, it's a handicap.
Yeah.
That's it, though. Is that it?
I don't think
they ever team in, unless they teamed at like 95 or something somewhere. But
yeah, but it was nothing high profile. So
no. Sergeant Slaughter and Private Terry Daniels.
What? Who?
All right. Shannon Moore and Jimmy Wang Yang.
No.
Okay. I like the Wanger.
Yeah, I like him too.
All right, here we go. Shawn Michaels and Diesel.
I mean, I think you got to put him wherever we put Ramon and the Kid.
Right, so we had them Fringe.
Fringe, yeah.
But I think they have more than Ramon and Kid.
They have a bit more, but it's not much more.
Right.
Like, they have the Head Shrinkers where they win the tag titles.
Mm-hmm.
They have a few other little things here and there, and then that's kind of it, right?
Yeah. Okay. God, it feels like that match is so good they don't belong on Fringe, but...
No. It's like, do they belong below the Powers of Pain?
Right, yeah. Like, should we move them both over?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we'll figure this out when we go through it,
okay,
right?
We'll leave him there for now. Shawn Michaels and God.
I want to put that as my number 100, probably.
I'll put him as no for right now.
Yeah. Forsaken by us in the list.
I mean, the match is all right.
It's great. Oh, great. Some stretch. But Shawn and Vince had, like, really good chemistry.
Yeah, they did.
Everything. So.
All right, Michaels and Austin. Bottom.
Do they have just the one
match? Is that it?
That's it, right? Like,
yeah. So they're kind of in the Shawn. So Fringe. I think they're with the Shawn.
Yeah.
What match do you think is better? You know.
I think I like the Shawn Austin match better. I think, but
better than the Action Zone.
Yeah, I could watch them back to back again and see.
Show Miz.
That feels like
first time.
It feels like Fringe.
Yeah.
It feels like Fringe. It does feel like the first time.
I do like them.
Yeah, me too.
The Dime Store Jarrah Show.
Yeah.
Sid and the Kid.
I want to put them on, but I don't think so.
No, I mean, they got the In Your House 5 match.
Yeah, and it's not that good.
And they're supposed to fight for the titles at Rumble 96, but Sid leaves.
Yeah.
All right, Spike and Taz.
I mean, they have the tag title run, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't recall the matches being very good at all.
They have that one big moment on Raw in early January when they win the belts.
Yeah.
And then they kind of peter from there and lose to Billy and Chuck.
Yeah, I'd probably put them on the no pile.
Yeah, I mean, they were fun for a minute, but...
Sure.
Spirit Squad. I want to put them Fringe.
Yeah, you think?
They get some fun stuff.
I like them. I just think they get such a raw deal in the DX stuff.
But they're still good in it. Like, they're still great as they're getting buried. You know, they're flopping all over, flying all over.
Yeah, they're good.
The Avengers match is tough, but I like some of their beatdowns, too, where they come out and throw the guy in the air. Like, it's a unique finisher.
Yeah. Okay.
Champs for a while.
I think we got robbed of not having
more
Nick, Dolph Ziggler, and Kenny as a team. More
right, yeah.
There's always Kenny
more of them as a whole.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they also took a fucking cheerleader gimmick and like got it over.
Oh, they got the gimmick over well. Like they're going to be a team that we're going to talk probably more about when we get to Sean and Hunter.
Right. Okay.
Because like what happens to them is just tragic almost without anybody dying.
And also as tragic is the team of Sparrus, Arion, and Waldo Von Erich.
Now, is that going on the research or are we just not caring enough to do that?
I'm going to put them on research, but that doesn't mean we're going to get to them. We'll see. All right. Austin and Dude Love.
I'd probably go no. Because, again, it's not a lot, but it's nowhere near.
I think they only have the one match.
Yeah, and it's nowhere near the quality of the other one.
Okay. And our last team we're going to talk about tonight, this is the last of the S's, is Strike Force.
Ooh. Give me a beat! I think definitely top or bottom.
Yeah.
They're in there.
Let's go top for now.
Yeah.
And we only have they'll be our 24th top team. So that's pretty good. Like if we were to say we had a, you know, we say we're calling a top 50, right? We only have 24 right now. We don't have a ton left to get through.
Right.
And look at some of these teams, like we're not filling out 25 more top teams, I can tell you right now. So some of these bottom 50s are going to slide up.
Yeah, that's fine. It's fine. That's going to work out.
Okay. All right, so why don't we wrap up there? We got through quite a bit tonight. And we can come back next time and get through the rest. What do you say about that?
I think that's a good idea. I mean, how many T's are there? Like 1,000?
There's a lot of T's.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that'll be what we'll do.
It would be. It, I mean, and also there's a whole... Shit, we made two more of these things. All the teams that, remember, we added?
Oh, yeah, when you opened it up for everyone?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot left. There's a lot left. All right. So we'll do this again, though. It's a lot of fun. Be sure to, you know, start... putting your list together. We're going to be putting the balloting out soon, so that'll be opening soon. The conversations on our Facebook page, just ask us if you want in on that. We can get you added. And follow us on all our feeds on iTunes, PlayStation Wrestling, and PlayStation Pop on Twitter, Place2BNation, and Facebook.com/PlayStation as well. That's Aaron. I'm JT. We out. Dookie time. Jockass time. Zeus time. By the way, this show is called No Holds Barred. We just dismissed Zeus, like, immediately.
Oh, fuck. We're awful.
But didn't even give him a shot.
But if Brill comes up, we'll definitely be putting him in the top 50.
Beefcake Bobber!
My first name ain't baby, it's Janet. Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.